That started it.
Another interesting, while we're on interesting experiences, I have, sure.
I'd like all everything that you can say of that kind of thing to give a picture of the place.
Probably, in addition to the Ferlinghetti pump, I remember quite well. And the next major vivid crisis before John F. Lee was what was known as the BF and C case, Bowen, Fleischer, and Schill. I'm sure you've heard of that.
I've heard about it.
All about Bowen, Fleischer, and Schill.
Not all about it, no.
This was a renewal appointment and ideological issue got crystallized here between Chicago and Columbia, between CC, the Contemporary Civilization Course of Columbia, and Chicago Humanities.
Was Tupper there then?
What?
In your mind.
Oh, it was Bowen, Fleischer, and Schill. Yeah, I did. Yeah, they were all three Columbia.
Columbia, I see.
And I think, I mean, Sydney was too, and Sydney was probably there. I can't remember. But in any case, Ken's close advisors were extremely split on renewal of these three.
Who were his close advisors?
No, there were probably only several. There was Merrill Roden, myself, Harold Viskin. That was it.
I see.
I mean, it was basically it. The thing about Len is you never knew what he was going to do. He'd ask you your opinion. And he could argue every position, but you never knew what he was really going to do. You had no idea. He played everything very close to the vest that way. He was going to be responsible. It was not going to be anybody else's responsibility. He was responsible. He would be responsible.
He didn't delegate much then?
Well, I mean, it was a tiny little place.
Yeah, right.
He had brought in an associate dean. Wasn't a basic administrative person, not a faculty.
Who was he?
It was Terry Lunstrom. He was there, I believe, only a year. He's a friend of mine. He's a...
W-M...
And S-F-O-R-D.
Yes. F-O-R-D. Lunstrom.
Right. He had a law degree and a PhD in psychology. Perfect. The question was, with Bowen, Fleischer, and Schill, had to do with, his case had to do with whether he was a competent scholar. I had to do as well as the case of Bowen also. And Marty Fleischer was clearly a competent scholar, I thought. But a very, very difficult, complex man. High strung, very high strung. I think Len, personally, my own judgment is that Ralph Bowen was extremely well liked by everybody. All of us liked Ralph, personally. And he was not as smart and not as quick. Not a wonderful scholar, not a productive, highly productive person, but was a good member of the community, a responsible member of the community. Maybe Len should have kept him. He needed to have those kinds of people around. He didn't have enough of them. And you can't build a big place without having good citizenship people. Anyway, I think Len would have, I think that was a political mistake, because then you had three, and it turned it into ideology. What was not an ideological issue, it was in Len's mind, or any of our minds, really, became an ideological issue because it was three people from Columbia. It was a stupid, really stupid. Okay. And it led to real trouble. Inevitably, it did. Well, was at a public lecture at City University, Graduate Center. There was a European scholar who came over that I wanted to hear, and I went down to the public lecture, and I went down, the room was packed, and I sat on a table in the back. I came in late. Question period. The chairman of the meeting held on a guy who was sitting about on another table, about 8 or 9 seats down from me. And he said, Professor Marty Fleischer has a question. And I looked over and sure enough, that was Marty Fleischer. I had not seen Marty Fleischer since 1958. Decades. So I was extremely impressed. Not only with that, but the question that Marty asked and the discussion that went on. And I went over to him afterwards and I introduced myself to him and he remembered me. Totally my thought. He made a wonderful contribution to the meeting. And I then apologized. I said, Marty, I'm really sorry for what happened in the early part of the Oyster Bay years. And I probably contributed to it. And I'm delighted you've had such a successful career. And he couldn't have been more gracious. It was a very nice experience. He's a big gun at City University. He's at one of the campuses, Queens, I don't know, but he's at City University. Very smart guy. I don't know what happened to Ralph Bowen, and I don't know what happened to Manny Cho, but I do know that that was a serious political mistake. And Ralph could and should have stayed, and it might have made a big difference.
Because?
I'm not sure who the people were. I mean, if I have to see a list. But the reason I described Ralph the way I did is because it really became ideological because this was a nice man and a good citizen, and so everybody in the community could say, well, there's no reason to fire this man unless it is ideological. That's what happened. So it really doesn't matter who they were, because I know that is what happened. And it had only been a couple of years, and Len Olson, why did you hire this man to begin with if you didn't think he was good, right? And now he may not turn out to be wonderful as you thought, but he is a good citizen. So there must be other reasons why you dropped him. Well, there weren't. It was just Len realized that he had made a mistake the first time in terms of his high standards of scholarship. But the community couldn't see it that way, and Len's not going to talk about it that way to anybody, and never publicly, let alone to him, not even to me privately, so there you are. So everybody was very distressed. Because probably at least be pretty vague about it. I remember extremely vividly what happened to me personally. There were a whole series of things. The first thing that happened, of course, was that after he'd been there a year...
Was he there a full year?
Well, I don't remember. I remember the end of the year. I don't remember the beginning of the year. But by the time he had been there and June had come around and the end of the summer, came back from his vacation and discovered that he was pretty shortly thereafter, Len was reassigned to Auburn. On campus in the White House in the back.
This is Coe's Cottage?
No, that's where John F. Lee lived.
I see.
No, John lived in the old farmhouse, white farmhouse in the back. And I lived in one of the servants. Then Len was transferred to Albany and was clearly a decision that had been... I mean, once you brought the president in, I mean,
they were all very appreciative of what Len had done, and so they made it very easy. It was extremely hard. So then, the following summer, I'm really not sure about this.
I think Lee left in November of 61.
Or 61. Okay, well, I came back, yeah, it all happened pretty fast. Now. I came back from vacation in August of 61, and John Eppley called me into his office. He was taking me, he took away the admissions office from me, and he took away the registrar's office from me, and he was reassigning all responsibilities. And a couple of weeks after that, he called me in to tell me that Eppley, of course, the chairman, had been having all kinds of problems with John Eppley. Frank did, that they had resigned their chairmanship. When the students heard about my being...
I know Arnie Feingold resigned.
Arnie Feingold, well, he was in physics then. He had replaced him. He was the physics chairman. And then when the students learned from somebody, not me, that I had been the chairman, that he converted into the Dharma chairman, it was stable. Because he had a problem now with the faculty on one side, he had a problem with the students on the other side. It bothered me because he lied. And I knew, everybody knew about that one, right? So, I mean, there were lots of other lies, but that was the right. I don't want to condemn anybody, but there was something wrong with John. I don't know whether it was something wrong. I used the term change before. I can't be struck if they were, if they knew if they had any sense of what they were doing. Well, so then he left. I mean, it all happened. I mean, it was all over. I mean, it seemed like an eternity at the moment. September, October, November, he left in November. It seemed like every day was a week. But then Len and I both got asked to go to the Ford Foundation, which was much better than the university. It says that you were doing some writing on value and valuation.
Right.
What's that?
Turn this off here.